In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ultimately, are BYU and Notre Dame. My reaction to it is when it came to Notre Dame and Miami, I know I fought back against Miami. I didn't really have that big of a dog in the fight. I just thought it was ridiculous for Miami fans and ACC fans to complain incessantly the way that they were when Miami did it to themselves. They lost the 2-8-4 football teams. They lost two unranked football teams. They needed accountability in that situation. The committee gave it to them, and then everybody complained about Notre Dame, even though they had lost by a combined 4 points to two, you know, top 15 teams in the first two games of the year with a freshman quarterback. So I didn't really care how this went, but I was not so hung up on the head-to-head as everybody else was. I think the team with the most to complain about, quite frankly, in this entire discussion that no one really wants to admit, it's BYU. BYU is a team that I think every single year is right around this conversation in the college football playoff, but they never quite get over the hump. They never get the benefit of the doubt. When you look at Miami, BYU, and Notre Dame and their resumes side to side, Notre Dame and Miami are 10-2. BYU has one more win. They're 11-2. The ESPN strength of schedules for Notre Dame and Miami, 45 for Miami, 44 for Notre Dame. You know what it is for BYU? 22. ESPN strength of record, Miami 14, Notre Dame 13. BYU 9. Miami and Notre Dame, for different reasons, did not play in a conference championship game. Notre Dame doesn't have one, and Miami didn't make the ACC title. BYU played in the Big 12 title. Notre Dame's two losses, which they got a lot of credit for through the first 4 weeks of the college football playoff rankings, were to Miami and to number 7 Texas A&M. Good losses. Miami lost to 2-8-4 unranked teams, SMU and Louisville. BYU lost two games to the same team who's number 4 in the country and has a first-round bye.
They got destroyed in those games.
And has a first-round bye.
Yeah.
Now, getting to that, okay, let's have that discussion. Let's discuss, okay, margin of victory punishing BYU, which I can agree with in a certain sense. But when I look at Alabama not moving off of number 9 after getting absolutely smacked in the SEC title game, am I supposed to feel the same way? Alabama didn't move an inch.
No, it's just...
And it was a very similar deficit that they lost by.
It's just, we have to be
it's
honest.
It's very similar.
There's no way they were going to move Alabama.
I understand that, but again...
I don't necessarily agree with it, but there's no way they were going
to
do it again.
The ultimate problem that everyone has with the committee. It's subjective,
right,
and it's hypocritical. Every single week,
right,
they go back and you know, rewrite the rule book.
Yes. That's my whole issue with them.
And the fact that Miami ended up hopping Notre Dame, even though neither team played, is absolutely insane. And I hate to do this, but I go back to last week, and I brought this up at the time when Hunter Yurecek said, well, if there are multiple spots removed from each other, so if one team was 11 and one team is 13, for example, head-to-head won't matter. But if they're back-to-back, if they're 11 and 12, that head-to-head may matter.
He set the stage.
And when BYU lost and they dropped, it put Notre Dame, in Miami in a situation where they were back-to-back, and now the head-to-head came into question. So we should have listened to him and saw this as a possibility, but I still find it absolutely heinous decision-making on behalf of the College Football Playoff Committee, because through the first 4 weeks, they gave us one idea of what was going to happen, and then as soon as we got to Selection Day, another thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's embarrassing. It truly is.
It's my whole issue with the committee. There's no consistency week to week for them, and they have major biases towards certain schools, and that's why in no world was Alabama going to be left out again. I thought Notre Dame should have been in over Miami, but I'm also not shocked that Miami got in over Notre Dame.
Yep.
And BYU, as soon as they were getting, I was like, there's no chance in hell they're getting in.
Yeah, you think David Cobb has some takes on this? I'm sure he does.
Probably.
I'd imagine he does. So let's go ahead and grab a break. We'll talk to him after said. David Cobb covers college football and college basketball for CBS Sports. He is on X at David W. Cobb. He's also a role player here at 92.9 FM ESPN, Monday, Wednesday, Friday with the Gabe Kuhn Show right here, 5 o'clock. And then Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright and company. David, how's it going?
Hey, man, it's going all right. How you doing?
I'm doing well. We have a new hire here in Memphis. Charles Huff is officially the guy. I want to wait on that, though, because Connor and I just got discussing the College Football Playoff Committee. Because I had a great time on Saturday watching all the games. Whether it was the Big 12 Championship, watching Texas Tech's dominance, or by the end, watching Duke win in overtime after a Chandler Morris interception. But I always knew that the backdrop of that is waiting on the College Football Playoff Committee to make their decisions. They put in Miami because of the head-to-head win over Notre Dame, and Notre Dame and BYU were the first two out. Is this, and I know we have a lot to compete against because their explanations are always pretty ridiculous, but is this one of the worst decision-making years in the college football playoff sort of committee's history since their inception in 2014? What are your thoughts there?
That would actually be a great article, ranking the dumbest decisions ever made by the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. But it's hard to imagine there's one that would rank a whole lot higher than this committee putting Miami in the bracket over Notre Dame, when for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, Notre Dame had been ranked ahead of Miami. Then on the last week, when neither one of those two teams play, somehow something changes and Miami jumps ahead of Notre Dame and into the field. It makes no sense, Gabe. Please don't tell me you're about to argue that.
No. The only thing I was about to say is the stupid explanation given last week by Hunter Yurecek regarding head-to-head and when it would come into play did kind of show us this was a possibility. As stupid as I think it is, he did say if they are successively ranked, meaning if one's 11 and the other's 12, head-to-head could come into question. But if they are separated by a team, then it was not going to be called into question. BYU loses, they drop them, they put Miami in because I would imagine Notre Dame and Miami would have been successively ranked, would have been right behind each other. So I think that's where this comes from. I still think it's as stupid as you do.
Alabama gave them a way out, though. They opened an escape door for
the
committee because they could have dropped Alabama behind.
They dropped BYU for a similar loss.
Yes, and then there would have been protection because Miami and Notre Dame would no longer have been next to each other, and Alabama could have said that Alabama deserved to drop after that loss. I'm not saying they didn't deserve to still be in the field. I would have had Alabama and Notre Dame in. I would have had Miami out. You can't lose two games against unranked opponents like Miami did against Louisville and SMU and feel like you'd still deserve a spot in the field. I also think this, Gabe, like as much as they want to say that they didn't give any thought to the idea that, oh, we have to put Miami in so we don't leave the ACC without a team, I do wonder.
Yes, I agree.
If Virginia had beaten Duke, and then the ACC would have had a team in. Well, the ACC sure as heck didn't deserve two teams in. So you're telling me that if Virginia beat Duke, that Miami still would have gotten in? I don't believe that. I think this was rife with stupid politics and suits and the same old BS we saw in basketball when Bubba Cunningham gets North Carolina in because he's the chair of the committee. And it's just it's ridiculous. I mean, I hate to say it, but it almost makes me want to go back to the BCS And yeah. Because you know what? The problem with the BCS, it wasn't that the computer ranking was jacked up. It's that there were only two teams who made it into the BCS yeah. championship game. Well, now if you applied that formula to the college football playoff with 12 or 16 teams, there would still be angry fan bases at the end of it, but at least it would follow clear, sound logic and not the political whims and emotional arguments of that a committee is falling victim to. It's just I hate the way it played out.
Let me ask you this, though, curiously. Like, let's say BYU – let's do BYU, Notre Dame, Miami. If we if you had erased your memory of all the college football playoff rankings from this season – and you were just saying one of these teams needs to get into the college football playoff, which team, realistically, are you picking of those three?
Well, I think it's Notre Dame.
Okay.
They dominated 10 games in a row. The only two losses they had were against college football playoff teams. Now that Miami's apparently a college football playoff team. So in terms of teams that I could actually win the national championship, Notre Dame is the team from that group. Miami, I'm sorry, I've seen enough now. I don't think they can get it done. At one time, I thought they would. I'm not saying they can't win a game. I think they could beat Texas A&M. In fact, I would suggest they really ought to. Otherwise, they're just going to get lambasted for being a sympathy addition. And they're, you know, I mean, it's just going to be awful. So Miami needs to win that game, but I don't think they can win at all. Notre Dame showed us last year. They bounced back from a loss to Northern Illinois, went and played for the national championship game. And then this year, I mean, their offense was better. They were dominant over the last 10 games of the season. Nothing more they could have done. Their two losses were by combined 4 points against two really high-quality opponents. So it's anyway.
Well, but no, what's funny about this whole thing is I think the consensus team that everybody would leave out of those three, BYU, has the best metrics of the three. By a pretty fair margin, too. And when you look at their losses, if we're applying the same logic that you're applying to Notre Dame, they lost to the number four team in the country twice. Now, they got smacked in both cases. I get that. But still,
yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's still number four team in the country. I don't know if I'd call them quality losses, but they lost to a really good football team.
Well, so I am sympathetic to a certain degree with BYU because – like, okay, so for example, if BYU had been 10 in these rankings, I think their gripe would be a lot more significant because they would be treated with a different precedent at that point than SMU was last year. SMU was in the field going into conference championship Saturday. They lost to Clemson but remained in the field as a two-loss team.
Because they
anyway.
Kept it close.
Well, whatever.
Well, by the end.
BYU. Yeah, right. It's crazy how much we're looking at the box score on conference championship Saturday to determine these things. The biggest difference I see between BYU and Notre Dame, though, is the lack of dominance. I mean, BYU, yeah, they won a lot of games. They also won a lot of close games. They got stomped in their two losses. Notre Dame, two close losses, crushed everybody else. So I would have had Notre Dame ahead of BYU. This is a rare year, you know, where it really feels like, okay, well, maybe the line here should have been 16, and I'm not necessarily an expansionist, but you look at Texas and Vandy, who we're not even talking about, and you know, honestly, I feel like they're as well equipped as a lot of these other teams in the bracket to go out and compete. I would say Texas and Vandy could compete for a title with just as much vigor as Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Alabama. Right. They're absolutely in that weight class with those teams, and I don't think there's a whole lot of difference in their resumes. But alas, it's only a 12-team bracket, and you can only put 12 teams in there. And look, I'm not one who's going to boohoo over the fact that we got two Group of Five teams in here. I mean, sorry, the ACC stunk. I mean, these are the rules of the bracket. It's the five highest-ranked conference champions, and it so happens that this year two of them came from the Group of Five.
Yeah, and I think the Notre Dame thing, when you put it this way, I'm going to sort of put it a certain way, it really makes it egregious. Notre Dame was 6-2 and ranked number 10 in the first college football playoff rankings. From that point on, they won four games by an average of 30 points, 4-0 in the process, and the end result is they went down in the college football playoff rankings. It just makes no real sense. Now, to the two G5 teams, I rooted for it. I'm glad Duke was able to do the Lord's work. I'm happy that you have two G5 teams in. But I do get the sense that based on, and we'll see how both those teams compete. Obviously, you have James Madison versus Oregon and Tulane against an Ole Miss team that smacked them earlier in the year. Based on the outcomes of those games, I think that there may be a lot of people complaining that the G5 should not get any representation if they're not good enough, right? If they don't make it as an at-large team. Because that's my one concern about two G5 teams getting in and potentially getting their brains busted out.
Okay, well, how about this? Every year in college basketball, there are teams left on the wrong side of the bubble from high major conferences who would be favored by 15 or more points on the neutral floor over every team seated either number 15 or number 16. Every year, and we love it, and we embrace it, and we celebrate it, and we root for the underdog. Why don't we do the same thing in college football? Do we just pretend like Boise State winning the Fiesta Bowl however many years ago that was? Like, that's one of the most iconic moments of the 21st century in college football. If you're ranking best moments in the sport in this century, that one's on the top 25 list. It's one of the it's just an incredible that Statue of Liberty play. It was unbelievable, right? And so why don't we do the same thing in college football? Why don't we root for the underdog and applaud the fact that we have a sport now that grants access to them to actually compete for a title? Because it took Cincinnati multiple years of banging down the door, UCF laying the groundwork ahead of them, the Boise States of the world showing that teams from other leagues can really compete. It took a long time for us to finally get these teams to where they've got a seat at the table. And now that they've got a seat at the table, we're going to let people who want to talk about point spreads and betting lines and all that tell us that they shouldn't be there. Sorry, I do think Notre Dame deserved to be in. Do I think BYU or Texas or Vandy or Utah or USC or any of these teams would be favored against James Madison or Tulane on a neutral field? Yeah, I do. But at the end of the day, like, sports are about having access to a championship. If you don't have access to compete for a championship, why are you playing? To a certain extent, like, I just think it's got to be – we got to protect this. Like, this is something that a lot of us wanted for a long time. It's one of the few good things – it's one of the few things to like about the expanded playoff is that we actually have a chance for the little guy to make it there. And so, you know, I mean, I don't necessarily expect either of these teams to go out there and win, but I'm glad they're going to have a chance. I think the day we get to a point when the 12 and 16 and 18 and eventually 24, 32 team playoff, whatever it ends up being, the day we get to a point where we don't have access in that for the G5, that's where I think the G5 just needs to huddle up and say, hey, maybe we need to do our own thing.
It's frustrating because I think, especially with the way bowl games are going now, you have people – and people at ESPN and, you know, national media members who complain about G5 representation in the college football playoff, like, their argument is kind of ridiculous in the sense that they want 70% of FBS to not really have a real shot at a national championship, but they also are completely fine with bowls not caring. So at which point you would look at the G5 and most of those 70% of teams and say, what are you even playing for? Like, what's the ultimate goal for you to achieve if you're not going to have real access to a national title, or at least the run up to a national title? So, like, that's what's frustrating about it. And also, I would say they ignore what's right in front of their face. You know, they always talk about how G5 teams get smacked around. Well, the stat from last year, not a single G5 team played in the first round of the college football playoff, and the average final margin of those four games was 19.25 points. And if Indiana wouldn't have scored two, you know, cosmetic touchdowns at the end of the game against Notre Dame, it would have been 23 points as the average margin of victory. So, even these Power Four teams are getting smacked around by other Power Four teams.
And let's go back to last year too. I mean, in the end, Penn State ended up making it a runaway, but for three and a half quarters, Boise State was right there in that game with Penn State. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure Maddox Madison played one of the worst games he played all year. And if he just takes care of the football, I mean, Boise State has a real chance to beat Penn State a year ago. And that's the only – in this era, that's the only real game that we have to go on. So I'm willing to give James Madison and Tulane a chance. I do think it's unfortunate that in both cases the G5 schools are losing their head coaches. And so their head coaches will be distracted. The staff members will be distracted. The players will be distracted. That's an unfortunate side effect of all this. But I'm not mad at it in the least bit that we got two G5 teams in. I think it just, if anything, I think it underscores the hilarity of the ACC's ineptitude.
Yes. Now, I thought the game of the weekend was without question number one versus number two. It delivered. I know it was 13-10, but you can't look at the final score. You had to watch that full game to realize how entertaining it was, how back and forth it was. But Indiana gets over top. And, David, I try to provide context, to provide stats, to, like, wow people with what Kurt Cignetti has done through 2 years at Indiana football, one of the worst historic Power Four programs in the history of FBS. But I find that there's no words, there's no stats, there's really nothing I can say to really live up to how insane it is that he's been able to do what he's done in a two-year period. Win a Big Ten title, beat Ohio State, undefeated, number one seed in the college football playoff with a bye, and then even last year getting to the college football playoff. We've never seen anything like this in college football's history.
Yeah, Kurt Cignetti is basically like what the iPod was for Apple. I mean, just has just completely changed the entire complexion of the organization. Just the long-awaited breakthrough that you never saw coming. I've seen a lot of folks trying to make those comparisons and figure out like how to put it into proper context.
Truly, and stop trying kind of, though. Like that's where I've gotten. Just stop trying. Well, this is one of
some people. Some people have said John Calipari and UMass basketball. I think that's interesting. I don't have the full context of how bad UMass was at basketball before he got there. But I mean, there's been nobody worse in Power Four football than Indiana. And yet here they are, number one in the country, Big Ten champions. I thought Saturday was cool because you had Duke win the ACC championship. They've never won the ACC championship game before. You had Indiana obviously do what they did. You had Texas Tech even winning the Big 12 championship for the first time. So you had three of your four Power Four champions achieving something totally unprecedented. And I think it tells you something about the competitive balance that we've found in college football in this era. And I think that's great. I think it's fantastic. And I think Texas Tech and Indiana, crazy as it may be, both of them absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, have a legitimate chance to win the national championship.
Yeah. Now, to the SEC title game, Georgia waxed. I mean, just waxed Alabama. Obviously, this is including sack yardage, as we normally do in college football, but they had -3 rushing yards. Alabama, Crimson Tide, had -3 rushing yards in a football game, in an SEC title game. But Georgia wins 28-7. And I felt similarly going into last year, but this one feels different. It feels like Georgia, to me, at +550, as third shortest odds to win a national title, it feels like that's the best value on the board right now. I mean, that team's playing at a high level. Gunnar Stockton, that offense, do more than enough. The run game seems to be back. The offensive line's playing well. But that defense, it's the impenetrable, you're not getting anything on first and second down, you're not going to run the ball on us, and we're not going to bust coverages on the back end. I mean, this is that vintage, back-to-back national championship-looking defense. This is what that looks like right this second.
Yeah, the last 4 weeks or so, it has been at that 2021-22 type of Georgia defense level. That's how good they've been defensively over the last quarter of the season. The offense is doing enough, is I think how you put it. I would agree. I'm a little leery that they're not doing more than enough, though. I think they're just doing enough. So that's my my point of skepticism, because you can go back and look at how Georgia seized control against Alabama. You had a blocked punt, and then you had an interception that gave you a short field. So those are a couple big-time plays right there that your offense was not involved in. And eventually the offense did sort of lean on Alabama enough and break that game open. But the offense, I don't think, is elite right now. The loss of Drew Bobo at center, I still think, is having an effect on them. But, I mean, in terms of value, I agree. Yeah, I mean, value at +550, this is the year where I feel like the 4-team playoff would have been sufficient. You can argue for Oregon if you want. I know you got some homies on that staff out there at Oregon, but I think the top four, I'm almost positive, is going to produce your national champion. I'd take that top four over the field at probably -350 if that was something you could bet. I just don't know that we really need the other eight to determine a national champion. I think these four teams that have byes are very clearly the best in the sport.
All right, now final thing. While all that was happening this weekend, Memphis finalized with their new head coach, Charles Huff, coming over from Southern Miss. Previously at Marshall, he won a conference title in his final year there and won 10 games. But what do you think of the hire? You like the hire?
I love it. I think it's a great hire. So, you know, I get a lot of things wrong, and sometimes, you know, sometimes I think the Grizzlies should take Dalton Connect over Zach Edey. You know, like I get blasted a lot for bad takes, and rightfully so. But two takes that I had that I think were spot on that you heard on these airwaves probably in October. I first started talking about Charles Huff in October when we thought Ryan might up and leave at that point. Now the Memphis season played out differently than we thought it would. But from the very beginning of this idea that Memphis could ever be looking for a new football coach, I had Charles Huff pretty near the top of my list. I mean, this is a guy who worked for PJ Fleck, James Franklin, Dan Mullen, Nick Saban, Marshall, took them to four bowls in 4 years. And Term started messing around from a one-win program to go 7-5 in his first and only season there. And then you want to look around the American right now. Well, look who Tulane ended up hiring, man.
Yes.
Tulane ended up hiring the coach whose mess Charles Huff just cleaned up.
Will Hall.
So you want to compare it to the peers? I think you did pretty well because Tulane just hired the coach who went 1-11 at Southern Miss, and you hired the guy who came in and cleaned up his mess. So I think you got to be feeling great relative to where Tulane ended up. So I've been a supporter of Charles Huff's candidacy from before there was ever even a job opening.
What?
I think the only reason, the only reason why you're disappointed right now about Charles Huff
right.
is if you talked yourself into thinking that Memphis was going to hire Dan Mullen.
Right.
And it's the only reason Florida fans are disappointed about John Summerall. It's because they had talked themselves into thinking they were going to hire Lane Kiffin. They ended up with a guy in John Summerall who four other SEC programs wanted to crawl over broken glass to hire. And so they have no right to be disappointed, and I don't think Memphis fans do either. I think they're going to get on board with Charles Huff once he's introduced and once they hear from him and hear his message. I think it's going to be really hard not to rally behind the guy.
I'm curious, what do you view as like his biggest strength as a coach? Because like I look at his resume, and he's clearly good at turning around a program. What he did with Marshall was phenomenal, and what he did in 1 year with Southern Miss is phenomenal. He's never taken over a program that's in as healthy a spot as Memphis with the resources that Memphis has. But one thing that I do notice about his track record, he was the 2021 Recruiter of the Year when he was at Alabama. So would you say that's probably one of his main strengths and one of the big things that could help him succeed pretty heavily at this job now that he has resources?
I think it's going to be his ability to connect with people. I think he's going to be a home run in that respect, probably better than any coach Memphis has had during this historic run the last 11, 12 years. He's going to connect with people, maybe probably even the community, people outside the walls better. He's going to the recruiting element of being a people person is huge in college football for sure. Now he's going to have to lean heavily on the portal. It's not going to be necessarily like the old high school days like it was when he won that award at Alabama and when you sat in the living room with mom and dad and everybody, right? Like those days, they're not dead, but they're kind of gone.
It was 2021. You know, I feel like that was
it was kind of the end of it.
You know, it was a transition period still.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of the CEO element. Because you look at Fuente and Norvell, they were both offense coordinators. Silverfield came from a position coach background. And from that standpoint, I would say Charles Huff is actually similar because for a long time he was a running backs coach.
Yep.
He also had whatever other titles, you know, associate head coach and those sorts of titles as well. But no, I think he's somebody that...
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
People rally around as somebody who can get you fired up. I can't wait to see how he wins this press conference. I think he's going to crush it.
Wednesday is what we've been told.
So will you be there as a media?
I might have to pop up, show my face.
Yeah, I know, but you have to pick. Like, are you like Mr. 92.9 or are you Mr. Former Player? You know,
I'll give you an answer later in the week.
All right, man, I appreciate it
for sure. But David, appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
All right, talk soon.
Yes, sir. He is David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X, college basketball, college football for CBS Sports. Also, 92.9 FM ESPN, Monday, Wednesday, Friday with me, and then Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright and company as the company there for Jeffrey Wright. Now, let's go ahead and grab a break. When we come back, we'll take a trip around the National Football League, and there's a lot to discuss, including the Kansas City Chiefs. Are they going to miss the playoffs altogether? More on that next. Back into the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. It's time to take a trip around the National Football League. Connor, hit it. Connor, you got to cue the music, man. You got to cue the music. It's over for the Indianapolis Colts. What started as such a beautiful season. One of the last remaining undefeated teams at the top of the AFC South. It's turned on a dime since the bye week. They went into the bye week with a win, an OT over the Falcons coming out of the bye week. Three straight losses, Chiefs, Texans, Jags. They're third in the AFC South. And in this game that they lost 36-19 against the Jags, they lost their starting quarterback, who I have affectionately been calling for his unbelievable turnaround in Indianapolis, Indiana Jones, Daniel Jones, to a torn Achilles. It's tough for him, season ending. Now, the Colts, to make the playoffs and keep themselves afloat, are tasked with an impossible task, and that would be winning four games or, you know, saving face in these four games with Riley Leonard at quarterback. Seahawks on the road, 49ers at home, Jaguars at home, and then Texans, who are the winners of five straight on the road to round out the regular season. It was a good story while it lasted. But with this Daniel Jones injury, Achilles, it's all over for the Indianapolis Colts. Now, what do we have next?
Well, I just wanted to add, the Indiana Jones story for Daniel Jones was as if Indiana Jones got to the end of the movie, and right before he had his heroic moment, they shot him in the face.
Yep.
So
he was playing on a broken leg.
Yeah.
Tried to gut it out. And then
in communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
The Achilles happened shortly thereafter.
Tough.
Yeah. Speaking of another team that's in a world of hurt.
This one's a little bit more
the
enjoyable.
The Kansas City Chiefs lost on Sunday Night Football to the Texans, who, of course, have won five straight. But 20-10, and the Texans went on the road to do that. Chiefs are at 6-7 and are trying to save themselves. And honestly, I don't know if they can. Defense doesn't look all that great. And then offensively, Patrick Mahomes has better counting stats than he's had the last 2 years when they were making Super Bowls. But it just does not look right. And I wish I would have stuck to my thought process early in the season. When everybody said, oh, the Chiefs look down now, but wait till they get Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy back. I knew back then, and I've changed my opinion a couple of times since then, but I knew back then that sounded like a little bit too good to be true. Thinking that Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy were going to change around the fortunes of your entire franchise. So I think everything has sort of remained the same. And this team may miss the playoffs altogether. When you look at the Chiefs' remaining schedule, they're at 6-7. I'd imagine you probably need to win all of your games to get into the AFC playoffs at 10-7. They have Chargers. That's a tough one. They lost to them at the beginning of the year. On the road against the Titans, I think they can handle. But then they have Broncos at home as well. And the Broncos have won 10 straight. And then they'll have the Raiders. I think they can go 2-2, but that would only get them to 8-9. And they probably need to win all four to save their chances at getting into the AFC playoffs. Shedeur Sanders, how you doing, brother? How you doing? Now, he played a really bad team, and they lost. Okay, the Titans beat the Browns 31-29. But Shedeur Sanders, 23 for 42, 364, three touchdowns, and an interception. He has been named the starter the rest of the regular season.
As he should.
For the Cleveland Browns, as he should. But there was one part of this game that I'm confused about. Two-point conversion to tie the ball game at the very end. Shedeur Sanders drives them down, gets them in the end zone, and what does Kevin Stefanski do? Pulls him out of the game on a two-point conversion. What was that? Somebody want to explain that to me? What are they trying to lose the game, or is that sabotage of Shedeur Sanders? I will actually, if this was not strictly to just tank, I will put that in sabotaging Shedeur Sanders, that category.
Well, my two thoughts are, it has to be the tank. That's the only thing that makes sense.
Because I don't want you to sabotage
my second thought is, though, overall, like, just fire Stefanski anyway.
Yeah. Why is he still there, by the way?
It's a wrap.
He's been terrible for a while. And he's been saved by, oh, well, he went to the playoffs when you're Baker Mayfield.
He has good defense.
He's an offensive coach.
I would say the defense
is probably Jim Schwartz. He probably
and
did
Miles
that.
Garrett.
And Miles Garrett being the best
right, exactly.
defensive player on the
face of
the earth.
I don't get why people keep talking about their defense.
Yeah.
They've won two games.
Yes. But I don't know why he's still around. And I don't know why people who know so much football, still advocate for him. Oh, it's not
three games. I'm sorry. They've won three games.
Kevin Stefanski, he's not been the problem. Okay. Sure, the front office has their say in it as well, but guys got three wins. Guys, they've been really bad.
Terrible.
The Browns have. And I will say this. He had Baker Mayfield. He's had Deshaun Watson. Couldn't make either of those quarterbacks work with his offense that is supposed to be so innovative and great. So, like, what's the redeeming quality for the guy at this point?
Well, he also made the incorrect evaluation with Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. Sanders is clearly the better quarterback.
Yep, for sure. This surprised me yesterday. Steelers beat the Ravens on the road 27-22, and they're at the top of the AFC North. Now, a couple of things in that game, in that ending sequence. Was that a catch or no catch by Isaiah Likely?
That's a catch.
The problem is you ruled it a catch on the field, then you reversed it. There was no clear and obvious evidence that you should have had to reverse that. It looked like he caught it, got one, two, almost a third down, and made a football move, and then it sort of stopped from there. Then the ball came out. I thought it was a catch, so they very clearly could have won that game. And also, did you see the final play on that fourth down where Mark Andrews tipped off his hands? Game over. That was supposed to go to DeAndre Hopkins wide open in the back of the end zone. Mark Andrews, he has sabotaged
2 years in a
row
that
damn team in massive moments. Drops the two-point conversion last year in the AFC playoffs. Also had the fumble in that same game against the Bills. And then when they need to win a game against the team that's trending in the wrong direction, he tries to catch a ball that wasn't even intended for him. So, just wanted to throw that out there. But that will do it for a trip around the National Football League. And we have not gotten to discuss this yet, but in small talk today, we will get into it. It was a pretty solid weekend for basketball teams in the city of Memphis. More on that in just a second. 7 days a week. Now, I know it's been a lean, tough start to the year for basketball teams in the city of Memphis, the Grizzlies and the Tigers in particular. But don't turn away yet, because this weekend, those teams combine to go 3-0. Memphis gets the massive win at home against Baylor. And then the Grizzlies beat two bad teams at the same time. 2-0 weekend. They beat the Clippers and then ultimately ran away with the game against the Blazers last night, which is probably, outside of the early season win on the road against the Suns, probably their best win
unfortunately
of the year.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
The Blazers tried to make it a game. They got it within five, and thank goodness for the bench. The bench is why the Grizzlies won the game yesterday, because the starters, to be quite honest with you, outside of Cedric Howard, tried to kind of give that game away.
Right.
And then
right.
Cam Spencer came in. Santi Aldama was amazing. Jock Landale, dude, has been so good.
He's
in his reserve role.
That's what I'm saying.
KCP's
we should have always expected that.
We
for
did.
The most part.
When
Jock
he was
Landale is a great reserve, but if you have to throw him in the starting lineup and play him for 30 minutes a game, you're going to get what you get.
When he was signed by the Grizzlies, the idea of him was backup. It wasn't to be a starter. So that's why it's really worked with Zach Edey back and Jock coming off of the bench. The bench saved that team last night, so shout out to them.
Yep. But the Grizzlies are 7-4 since Zach Edey returned. Try and tell me he doesn't make a difference now.
Top 10 defense.
Coward versus the Clippers on Friday night.
Dude.
23 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists. You can look at that and say, you know, those are flash in the pan numbers, but he's doing that pretty consistently and he's making an impact.
Yep.
His impact felt on both ends of the floor. And then I do have to give a shout out where it's due. I don't think he's discussed as much as he should be at this particular moment in time, with the Grizzlies turning the season around, sitting there at 11-13 when that did not look like a reality, a couple of weeks ago. Jalen Wells played really,
he's
really
returned
good
to
basketball.
Form.
He's returned to form. He's playing really good defense. And these are, let's see, his past 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games. These are the point totals. 22, 25, 13, 15, 20, 17, and 16.
And good three-point shooting.
And he has been knocking down his three-pointers at a high rate, even though he started the season miserable.
Yeah, that's why we said just keep shooting. Just keep shooting, Jalen.
Yes, but this team's gaining confidence.
Yep.
And they're starting to look a whole lot better. Now, the Tigers, I mean,
what a win.
That is a
great win.
Such an important win. I can't – not only do you get back to 500, but you beat a team – that shows you, hey, we can compete at the highest level. We have the ability, when we're playing at peak efficiency and peak form, to beat some of the best teams in the country. I'm not saying Baylor's awesome, but at the same time,
they're
a very talented team with a very good coach, and they had two really good guards that I thought the Tigers did a pretty decent job with in this game. But this, to me, has the potential to be a springboard point for the Tigers. You gain some confidence. I know the next two games are going to be tough. On the road against Louisville, then back at home against Vandy. Two big opportunities for them, though.
Absolutely.
But the biggest things, Zach Davis, AAC, he was American Conference Player of the Week. 16 points per game, 11 rebounds per game. And the game against Baylor, 23-13, 7-14 from the field. And he got to the rim a lot.
Can he be that second guy?
He's a guy that is coming along. And I didn't know that would be the case. And then I think the biggest reason that this could be a springboard, Aaron Bradshaw. I don't know how sustainable that performance is going to be. It still looks weird, okay? He's a little wonky. He's the athleticism and like the hand-eye coordination does give me some pause just when I watch him play and how he moves around the floor. But no denying 17.7 rebounds. He grabbed 4 offensive rebounds. He was showing some fight. He was showing some tenacity. He was showing, you know, like some physicality that we haven't seen all year.
Yep.
And here's the most important thing. He played 25 minutes and only had 2 fouls.
It's a miracle.
So I just look at some of these guys that are starting to emerge. If they can keep this level of play up, this team could be very dangerous, even against Louisville, even against Vandy.
I think Penny deserves a ton of credit for that win and how he handled the Aaron Bradshaw situation. He challenged him and he showed up.
And to Penny's credit, what he did late in that second half to go to zone really threw off Baylor's offense. They were very
uncomfortable. Penny was great.
I thought he coached that game really well against a very, very good coach on the other side. Now, we've talked about the college football playoff. And listen, you can have problems with how the college football playoff is seeded and what the matchups look like. But those matchups, they're ripe for betting. And you can make some money off these matchups in the college football playoff. So make sure when you're going to lock in those bets, go to Caesar Sportsbook inside Horseshoe Tunica and watch the games, bet on the games, enjoy yourself. They have wall-to-wall screens, 20 HD TV screens to be exact. They have plush seating in there. You can sit back, relax, order from their game day food menu from Guy Fieri's Flavortown. You're going to get gourmet food delivered right to you. And they have $1 wings. They have specials. They can bring a beer by. You will enjoy yourself. It is game day done right, and they have many, many different ways. Full-service betting experience. They have in-game wagering, so if you want to place a wager on something that is already happening, they have staff betting windows where you can lock in bets, and then 10 self-betting kiosks. So you will lock in the bet of your choice no matter what, whenever you would like to. But making it into Caesar Sportsbook inside Horseshoe Tunica, it's the ultimate college football viewing experiences. If you want to get into the action and get on the games, you need to get into Caesar Sportsbook inside Horseshoe Tunica. We will see you on Saturday. You must be 21 or older to gamble. No one to stop before you start. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Now let's go ahead and grab a break and talk about the 67th version of the AutoZone Liberty Bowl with Harold Grader. Stick around.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.